Before Rome. Before Babylon. Before the pyramids. There was Khandaq. The first self-governing people on Earth, Khandaq was a center of power and enlightenment. For centuries, they thrived. Using the army to seize power, Akhtun became a tyrant, but he had even darker ambitions. Obsessed with dark magic, Akhtun's real goal was to forge the crown of Sabak.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
This is Cheap Seat Reviews.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Cheap Seat Reviews, the podcast that explores the Hollywood film industry for the greater good.
The greater good.
Yay, you could hear me. That's exciting. All right.
At least this week. Maybe. Yeah. We'll see if the listeners can hear you.
Well, there's that. But maybe it would be good if they can't. Maybe that'll be an improvement. Of course.
That's true. We'll add a different voice in post. We'll get an AI voice that makes you all squeaky.
Give it time. It'll happen to all of us.
Yeah, interesting. I haven't thought about that. An AI voice. Interesting. All right. This is episode something. I don't have my page pulled up. This is episode 471, and tonight we're talking about Black Adam. I am your host, Sean Allred, and joining me tonight is Andrew. Adam is a dick to walls, Jimison.
Yeah. I typically use doors. Because that's what you walk through.
Yeah. I know they set up a punchline later for the whole thing, but like, it just seemed really inconsiderate for him. Like, she never, like, after the second time he goes through a wall in her house, she should have said something like, "Hey, we have doors." Right. Yep. Like there was a chance for a joke there, but they saved it for later. Sam.
Yeah. Yes.
How does he know English, Vector?
Dang it. You took one of my points from later on. So I'm guessing the Shazam magic is like a universal translator on here. And Sean, I mean, there's various ways to murder you in this movie. But I'm going to go definitely with the lightning and basically have you completely melt from... a lightning strike.
All right, that sounds gross, but okay.
Does that sound okay?
I mean,
really slowly, so it won't be quick.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say there sounds like there's more painful ways to die in this movie, but I guess not. Actually, now that you said that,
I mean, I could rip you in half from your head, you know, down. It's like the reverse wishbone from Bone Tomahawk.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Great movie.
Oh, yeah. yeah. It's.
Yeah,
That lives in.
It sticks with you.
Yeah, that
all of that guy's movies has at least like one thing that you'll never forget.
Oh, we need to watch more of his movies then. Just by you saying Zahler. That makes me want to watch.
F. Frank Zahler, I think is his name, something like that.
Okay, we should check out some more of his movies because, Bone Tomahawk. I think Andrew, you recommended that one, and
yeah.
Craig, Zahler, there's an H in there.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
He wrote something called Dragged Across Concrete. That sounds rough.
Oh, that's a good one too. It was on Netflix for a while.
He's only directed three films. Bone Tomahawk, Brawl in Cell Block 99, and Dragged Across Concrete.
I recommend all of them.
Okay. Vince Vaughn is in it. Don Johnson. Okay. Yeah, I'm in. Udo Kier. Yes. You know he's a bad guy. Oh, I'm in for this. Jonathan Lee. Oh, there's a lot of actors I've heard of in this movie. But I've never heard of this movie. Cool. A former boxer turned drug runner lands in a prison battleground after a deal goes deadly. All right, that sounds great. Yeah, Vince Vaughn is a drug mule bad guy. That looks awesome. Let's do that. All right. Anyway, That other voice you have heard now a couple times is returning guest Steven. Adam Smasher is a dumb name for a guy who just gets big. Honeycutt.
I agree. He's also completely wasted as a character, as is Cyclone. Like, why are they even there?
Because they wanted to do a team up and...
Oh, why couldn't it just be Dr. Fate and Hawkman teaming up? Like, but they were there for the kids, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't either, but that's fine. So let's pull up a comfy chair and dive in to this movie, which is Black Adam, 2022's Black Adam. Now, normally, at this point, I would ask Andrew to do a read for us. What is, you know, Black Adam and stuff? And I still am going to have him do that. But I was inspired. This movie inspired me to write my own kind of... thing. And as I'm looking at my the thing that I wrote, I now realize that I did not do a 5-word review. So this is going to take place of my 5-word review because I did not write one.
This is highly unorthodox.
This is. This is. Allow it. Thank you for your permission. So instead of a 5-word review, I will give you my version of the summation of this film. Black Adam joins forces with winged Iron Man, Strange, Doctor Strange, less funny Ant-Man, and a mild Storm. Together they must fight Sauron to defend desert Wakanda and save the world.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
I agree. That, I was inspired. This movie inspired me.
Nice. So,
yeah. Andrew, do you want to actually do whatever you have found?
Well, I'll read what IMDb says, just so if there are any listeners who are confused.
Yeah, I'm sure they are if from mine.
All right. Nearly 5,000 years ago, after he was bestowed with the almighty powers of the Egyptian gods and imprisoned just as quickly, Black Adam is freed from his earthly tomb, ready to unleash his unique form of justice on the modern world.
Yeah, I read that. Unique form of justice. You mean he just kills people?
He just kills people.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's unique. You know, like just, he just kills people.
Not in the 1980s, it wasn't.
No. Yeah.
That's
true. Because that's, you know, Marvel says, we need, you know, the Punisher and I want to say Daredevil, but Daredevil killed people too. But who else?
Wolverine kills, Punisher kills. Yeah, maybe Daredevil.
I was trying to think. Deadpool. That's who I was thinking of. Also,
Deadpool.
Yeah, definitely. Sure.
Yeah, but yeah, it's unique.
All the rated R guys.
Yeah. Pretty much. So, okay. So, Steven, you specifically requested, I think, this one when I told you we were doing a month of DC films. You were excited about this one. So, I'm gonna let you go first with your 5-word review and go from there as to why you were excited for this one and what made you want to jump on Black Adam.
Okay. all right. Here's my 5-word review. The Rock ruined this movie. I'm sure just like everyone, we saw this come out and no one was excited for it. And then one lazy Saturday, it showed up on Netflix along with all the other Warner Brothers trash. It kind of just like washed up on the shore, like Netflix, the shore, and all of this Warner Brothers superhero trash just sort of showed up one lazy Saturday. And I was like, why don't I just hate watch this and see how bad it really is? And the thing is that I actually kind of ended up liking it because it sort of reaches that high action adventure level, like that sort of reminded me of like the 80s and 90s. It's basically a DuckTales episode, basically, because like the Justice Society, they are Scrooge McDuck and the nephews. They show up at this like made up city, basically, you know, just like in a DuckTales episode. There's treasure, there's tombs. It's also kind of reminded me of Indiana Jones because there's a lot of, you know, just sort of casual violence. People actually die. I mean, they're all bad guys, but they still die. It's okay because they're bad guys, right? But at the same time, So everyone's in there. It's this high adventure, pulpy kind of mess. And I'm like, I'm vibing on it. Most of the, everyone is acting, you know, overacting and, you know, getting into it. And then for some reason, The Rock decides he's going to do the opposite of all that. Try to be this mysterious, like stoic guy that he doesn't have the range to play. And it just makes for a hilarious, like mess of a good time. I'd have to say, or this is my second time watching it. I would say it was less endearing on the second watch, but yeah, it didn't annoy me. And yeah, it's, but I think I liked it. The action delivers. There's some good visuals. The script and the story is a mess. I like that Pierce Brosnan was there. You get comic accurate Dr. Fate, mostly comic accurate Hawkman. The rest of the Justice Society is trash. So I've been wanting to talk about this. Like, I think I might be the only person in the world who actually kind of likes this movie. So I was interested to show up somewhere on the shores of the internet to discuss it with someone to see if anyone else possibly cares.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you're here. Because having spoken to Sam briefly about it and nothing of Andrew about this movie, but our first movie of our DC quartet was Aquaman 2, and we kind of all hated it. It's a bad
movie. Yeah.
Last week, Sam he didn't join us, but we did Shazam 2. Now, knowing now what I know now, I would have put... Now, of course, Sam, you weren't available last week, but I would have probably put Black Adam before Shazam 2 because they come out in a different order. And I think it would have been less confusing for me. Maybe not. I don't know. Because I knew nothing about Black Adam, right? I know nothing about him. So when he shows up and he's got a lightning bolt on his chest, I'm like, did the creators get lazy? Like,
here's what I think happened. You want to hear?
Sure.
I think The Rock heard the name Black Adam and he was like, wow, that guy sounds like a badass. I want to play him. So he showed up to the Warner Brothers executives and he was like, hey, The Rock wants to play Black Adam. And they were like, oh, but Rock, you see, Black Adam is kind of a villain. He's like, make it work. And they're like, okay, Mr. Rock, whatever you say. So basically, they did whatever The Rock wanted to do. And I think it shows, like, on the screen, again, in my review, where he's, it's like he's trying to go for, like, an Oscar or something. Like, he's in some sort of Oscar-baity movie where everyone else, again, is in this fun superhero movie. But he's all, like, there's so many great one-lines that, you know, the old style of Rock acting would have been great with. But no. I think he was like, I don't know, what do you guys think? I think he was trying to go with a little bit of Arnie from Terminator 2 and also kind of ripping off Batista as Drax.
I got that vibe.
I'm going to try to be like Drax. It's going to be hilarious. I'm going to be killing people, you know. But not trying to do the regular Rock that you would see in like Fast and the Furious and all that other stuff. And it just doesn't work.
According to the trivia, Dwayne The Rock Johnson once asked his fans which character he should play, Shazam or Black Adam, and his fans chose Black Adam.
But there already was a Shazam. How could the fans even pick him to do that? Because Zachary Levi was already playing Shazam.
I think like before that. I mean, you know, these movies take years of production and stuff. So
right, sure. But the Black Adam is a villain, though. He's not even an anti-hero. He is a straight-up villain.
Yeah.
Not according to this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Well, that again, they did whatever The Rock wanted to do. Yes, Mr. Rock. Whatever you want, Mr. Rock. Sure. You can kill as many people as you want. Rip a guy in half, Mr. Rock. We'll still keep it PG for you. I don't know. Is it PG-13?
It's PG-13, but, you know, it's CGI guy, so it doesn't really matter.
So it's okay.
Yeah. Sam, I know you have I'm going to let you go here because I know that we talked briefly yesterday about this movie, and there's something that Steven said that triggered something that you and I spoke about yesterday, so I'll see if you bring it up. So what you got?
Yeah, I only have one this week, and I have it. You'll have to give me an extra word, but DC does better with obscure heroes, or villains, or whatever they're trying to. You know, I don't know any of the lore behind Black Adam at all. I am completely behind. I don't know if he's supposed to be a hero, anti-hero, villain. I just don't know because I don't read the comics, and I don't really care about the DC universe outside of Batman, Superman, those folks, right? So I've been enjoying these kind of side characters that I don't know about, mainly because I haven't seen a billion movies or a billion tales of Superman told over and over again. So right. I enjoyed the Black Adam concept of a guy who is pissed off and wanting to enact revenge on anybody he seems fit. There's no moral compass. It is a simple, you know, if he sees something that he wants to do it, you know, he'll do it. It's a dark Superman is what this is. And what Superman would have been if he wasn't raised in Kansas, basically. So I actually did enjoy The Rock as Black Adam. I did think, you know, I saw so many, you know, I think Steven was mentioning, I saw the characters he was taking from, right? The obvious takes. You know, he's not quite the actor to go outside his range of of Dwayne The Rock Johnson and make it work. He's just not working in that way. But what I really liked about this movie is that they surprised me with the Hawkman, Pierce Brosnan team up of those guys. I had no clue that was coming.
Yeah, me either.
And
yeah,
I thought that was a lot of fun and something different. Yes, Hawkman is a weird combination of Batman, but he's in the DC, or Tony Stark. I wasn't 100% sure because, again, I have no idea who Hawkman is, but I enjoyed the character. I really thought Pierce Brosnan did well in this movie and brought some sort of gravitas that was needed to this. And I loved, I thought that his skills, his techniques, his Doctor Strange-esque type of tech, you know, of hero was really, really cool. And I thought that was a neat part of this movie. But the kid, can I please throw this kid off a cliff? I thought him being the narrator, I thought his acting, I thought him, even the age of the kid, was just irritating. I did not like the kid in this movie at all. And I think, you know, it feels like something that DC does, right, with these side hero movies, is you got to find that kid that you want to root for, that's in danger, that the hero saves. And I just hate that story. I didn't want to hear it. I don't know how else they would portray it.
Well, I mean, it can't be the mom these days.
Right. So. And I thought the kid was dumb and stupid. And the skateboard, I'm so tired of movies trying to be hip.
But he's so cool and in your face.
Yeah.
He's on a skateboard.
I thought it was just stupid. So if, you know, recast the kid or create a different story that didn't use the kid. And I think this movie is a lot better in my eyes. Now, this is the second time I've watched it and the second time I've gotten irritated with the kid. But I actually enjoyed it the second time around because I wasn't surprised, or I was looking more into, especially the Pierce Brosnan character, but I kind of enjoyed it more. And especially after watching Aquaman 2, I enjoyed the visuals. I enjoyed the, you know, certainly there was CGI and there was some touch and go moments, but not as bad as Aquaman 2. I just thought it was a fun Saturday afternoon type feeling movie. I think Steve mentioned earlier, sometimes you just want something dumb to watch with explosions and blood and gore. And this kind of did it for me.
Yeah, the trailer is playing again on my computer, and I just watched the scene where he's come to life or come back, and he throws that guy and then drops his arm.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah. Man, they're actually kind of pushing the boundaries of PG-13 on this one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I like that.
I like the edginess to it. It felt it was like a good mix between the Batman and a Superman movie.
Yeah, right? You could actually see what was happening though in this movie compared to the Batman.
That's true.
They actually had lights on and stuff. What you got, Andrew?
I got two.
Ooh.
I got the DCEU's best attempt at a Marvel movie.
Oh.
Well said.
Yeah.
And I also have, I personally think, one of the better DCEU movies.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd agree.
Yeah. Because I have to agree with what Steven and Sam both said. Like, this is just... I had a good time watching it. I kind of expected the first time to hate it because it was The Rock, and I thought, I don't know. There are some qualities of the movie that I don't like, and it's what's already been mentioned. You know, the kid that played Adam Smasher, I didn't like, and Cyclone, like you said, they're both.
Those are bad characters.
And I don't know if it would be better if they were recast or if it was just bad writing or both. They
or just not even used them.
Yeah, just get rid of them.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, Sean, when you said they were going for that team-up type thing, I agree. But I think when you have a team-up type movie, everybody has to have a job. Like, everybody has some sort of duty, you know, like the guy in the van, and then you got the guy who's good with tech, and then, you know, your typical team-up type thing. And this just felt like they weren't needed. They weren't necessary.
She especially was useless.
Yeah. I mean, she did throw some...
actress.
Yeah. She did throw some PVC pipe at him.
But that was about it, right? I don't see what else she contributed to this.
And this also... I think if you look closely, I'm just looking, you know, as I normally do, at some of the pictures from the movie on IMDb. Her uniform, her costume, whatever you want to call it, is something like out of a Power Ranger TV show.
She looks like she's from Tangled.
Yeah.
I mean, she has a tornado on her chest, like, and it looks like a... We have a college here where I live called Brevard College, and they're the Tornadoes. And I swear to you, it's the same exact logo that they use for the college that she wears on her chest.
Interesting.
And it just, I don't know, it felt really cheesy. But I have to say, I'm probably one of the DCU supporters, if you can call it that, on the podcast.
Apologist?
Because I usually have to defend... all the DC movies. And I'm glad I'm not having to defend this one as much, because honestly, this one is a lot of fun. That there's something that a couple things I didn't understand. One, we see the main girl, Adriana, we see her wanted poster or arrest on site thing pop up on the guy's screen, right? Do we ever figure out why she's wanted and why we're arresting this person? Because I've seen this movie twice now, and I still don't
know. So the guy that betrays her, right, who they sneak Ishmael, into the desert, he runs inter bad guys. So he puts her face on their watch list so that either she sneaks them into the place and they find the crown, or if she doesn't, or they can catch her and then take her to the place and force her to find the crown. Either way, he needs her to find the crown because apparently she's the only one that can read the stuff or the thing.
Yeah, I don't know. That part of the story I just felt like it was a little strange because they have to smuggle her across the checkpoint there. And why? You know, that just, it bothers me. Because he's the person smuggling her.
I guess his plan, like, obviously the writer's plan was to create the double cross so that we would have some kind of, oh no, there's a double cross. I think it's more of, you know, she's going to be more willing to find the thing if she thinks it's for her greater good, the freedom of her whatever,
right.
As opposed to being a hostage, being forced to do it. So that's, I guess that's the guy, the bad guy's plan.
Speaking of Adriana, real quick, if I may.
Yeah.
Did anybody else think that she was going to end up becoming Hawk Girl by the end of the movie? Because I thought she was.
I did think that somebody would pick up Dr. Fate's helmet and like take over the mantle of Dr. Fate.
But she looks just like Hawk Girl from the Justice League cartoon, like without the mask, like her jawline and everything. But
by the way, that was his name? Was it Dr. Fate?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, did they say that in the movie?
Yeah.
A couple times.
Okay. Yeah. For some reason.
I mean, it is.
You just call him James Bond the whole time or Remington Steele?
It is. I mean, you know, when I go back, when I said that, I think this is their best attempt at an MCU film. I mean, we're using characters that we've literally seen before. Like you've said, Sean, I mean, this is Doctor Strange. And we Ant-Man. And Ant-Man. Like we even have the word doctor before his name, and they're both wizards. And this is, I mean, of course it's not the, I mean, this was around from comics, you know, before, but this is clearly a copy. One of those is a copy of the other. I don't know which came first, but they're basically the same character.
Comic book aficionados would know, and I'm not here to argue that. So
I should know. I think Doctor Strange was first.
So the point that Sam, you and I spoke about the other day or yesterday that you didn't bring up was that, and Steven has made very clear that Shazam, that Black Adam is a villain. He is a bad guy. Mm-hmm. And that's, it feels like for the last about decade or so now, we are interested in movies about villains and then their redemption stories, right? Like Maleficent, Despicable Me, Megamind,
Oppenheimer.
okay. But like, you Venom, right? And Venom 2. Like you have these movies where they're villains, but we give them someone worse to fight, I guess, and so we're okay with like you're right.
Deadpool was technically a villain first too. I mean, it's just like in wrestling, if a heel or bad guy becomes popular enough, they eventually turn him into a good guy.
Gotcha. So one of the things that took me out of the movie, but again, I haven't really said it either. I also enjoyed the movie. I had a good time with it. I laughed. There's some fun moments. Aldous Hodge, who plays Hawkman, I like him as an actor. He's in one of my favorite TV shows called Leverage. The problem is that I just finished, as in today, my annual rewatch of the series Leverage. So I've been listening to Aldous Hodge talk as his character in that show for the last 4 weeks. So then listening to him talk with his weird kind of slowed down affectation that he's doing is weird, because I'm used to him talking like, you know, the character that he does in the movie. And it's just kind of a weird disconnect listening to him talk, you know. Well, if I have a bad plan, it's better than no plan at all. Like all of his, you know, he slows down as opposed to just his normal cadence. I guess it makes him sound smarter or something. I don't know. But anyway, and fun trivia, his theatrical debut was in Die Hard 3.
Huh.
He was one of the, yeah. So if you've seen Die Hard 3, this when Sam Jackson, he runs that electronic shop, and his two nephews come in with the stolen found boombox. He's the older one. That's Aldous Hodge.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah. So kind of a. And then Sarah Sahai, Adriana. She was in a TV a short-lived TV show with Damian Lewis, the guy from Band of Brothers, called Life, and that was That was a cool show. It was a cop show, but it was, I really enjoyed it. That was the first time I saw her. But I thought she's a good actress. I mean, I thought everyone acting wise did pretty good. Cyclone's
bad. Cyclone, I mean, I would have been okay with Adam Smasher by himself without this weird tension, you know, sexual tension between him and Cyclone. Mm-hmm. Him was as there, the comic follower.
I mean, he's kind of flirting with her a little bit.
Like crazy. Yeah. It was dumb. Yeah. It was.
I mean, I guess, but they both kind of came off as asexual or something. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
There was zero tension between the two of them.
But I think Adam Smasher would have been a good comic relief in the group of three with the Justice Society, which is the worst name.
It is a dumb.
By the way, Dr. Fate was first to print a full 23 years before Doctor Strange.
Interesting.
I saw that. Wow. Yeah. Cool. Good job.
23 years. Wow.
Yeah. All right. Well, good job for them. Too bad your character wasn't as successful as that, but
killed him off in the movie. Spoiler alert.
There was a planned post credit scene of the helmet appearing in the desert, and an unnamed, unseen person picks it up. So that was planned, but they didn't shoot it. So we only get
instead we get teased with Henry Cavill coming back as Superman, and then subsequently fired.
For the first time in a movie, that actually got me excited.
Yeah.
In terms of, I would have loved to have seen a fight between these two.
I think that was the whole purpose of this movie. Yeah. The Rock wanted to come in and fight Superman, but I guess it didn't work out in the long run.
Right.
There's a whole comic run about Superman versus Black Adam somewhere, right? I think. I've seen that before.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, my favorite one of my favorite Stan Lee quotes is, you know, people ask me all the time who would win in a fight between this character and that character, and the answer is whoever the writers want to.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, it's like there's not rules. If the writer needs Spider-Man to defeat Captain America, he's going to do it because that's what the story needs. And I'm like, that's actually kind of a brilliant answer.
Well, do you guys remember in the late 90s, they had the big crossover between Marvel and DC characters? Basically, the fans got to vote on who was going to win.
Mm-hmm. No. Was it a comic run or was it a cartoon?
Yeah,
or?
I mean, it was basically they joined forces, the two companies did. And I don't know, they did four issue miniseries of, I think it was Hulk versus Superman, Silver Surfer versus Green Lantern, Batman versus Wolverine, maybe, and Spider-Man had to fight Superboy at the time. I don't know. Anyway, it resulted in them doing also the Amalgam Universe, which is those characters combined into a new character. I don't know. It was an interesting little publicity stunt.
It sounds like something Marvel was doing to try to stay afloat because the 90s were hard on Marvel.
90s was a hard time for Marvel.
Yeah. Both of them, really.
Yep. Yeah.
So,
okay. I don't really know how much else to say about the movie. I mean, it's... We've all kind of commented...
It's serviceable for what it is.
Yeah, we've all kind of commented that, like, the team-up was kind of a surprise. Like, when we saw Waller on there, I thought, oh, okay, that's kind of a cool tie-in to the Suicide Squad and like, mm-hmm. the other stuff. And she's kind of the Nick Fury of the DC world, I guess. But mm-hmm. she's kind of more of a dick than Nick Fury is. So...
Well, it was also nice to see, I can't remember the name of the character, but she's from Peacemaker, the show that they did.
Bond lady?
She's down in the prison, yeah.
Is it Amelia something? Or
I'm not sure, but I really enjoyed that show. DC-wise, that show is pretty darn good.
Yeah, it is.
Well, yeah, and I think most people would agree. Well, I don't know. I mean, they say that DC is really good at... like cartoon short form, and Marvel's better at the films, the live.
You need to see that show. I think you'd appreciate
I do. Again, the amount of the backlog of things I need to watch is becoming embarrassing at this point.
Well, when you keep watching the same shows over and
but again,
over again,
we've talked about this on air.
Move on.
Those things that I'm watching is not during my free time. Right? It's not like I'm taking time out of I'm not watching Peacemaker or X-Men 97 or any other number of things that I need to watch. Because I'm watching Leverage, it's because I watch Leverage while I'm working. You know, it's just on in the background.
Unconsciously watching.
He's unconsciously watching.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't... I mean, I started Masters of the Air the other day when I was having lunch at work. Like, that's one of the only times that I could just sit down and watch something. But I can only eat... I only have a 30-minute lunch, so I can only watch 30 minutes at a time. That's why when you said, did you finish? Like, no, I'm only on episode 1.5.
Okay.
So... It's just, I just, you know, if we stop playing Fortnite at night, then I could, I could watch all this stuff.
Not going to happen. You're so, the one. You, really, you join us.
You guys really play Fortnite?
Every night. Dude. Just about.
About every night. Yeah.
Man, I just can't get into it. I even got the Switch version for my son and like, I can't even teach him how to play it. Just because like,
that's one of those. Switch.
I need a story for my games. I just can't show up and be given a shovel and told to dig. Like
our story is basically wreck havoc on fellow team members until the time comes to
survive. If it's a group thing, I could.
Yeah. We
typically that's what makes it really honestly. It's so much fun to just play with others.
He's just too young right now.
Yeah, I mean my 11-year-old he plays it, but he gets mad pretty easily too. All right. You ready for some clips? I got a few.
Sure.
I got a few. All right. I love, I mean, you guys know this. I love a good shit. So here you go.
Oh, shit.
There you go. That was the guy that got the grenade stuck in his mouth.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Which was absolutely made of explodium, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, because I like a good I like a good one of those. Okay, this is 32 seconds, but I also like a good here's our team and I'm gonna introduce you the team, kind of not a montage, but it's a what is what it is.
Maxine Holmes, a.k.a. Cyclone. Wind manipulation powers, computer skills, smart as hell. Basically a tornado with a 167 IQ.
Sounds delightful. But please tell me you found someone who can pack a punch.
Well, that's where Atom Smasher comes in. Al Rothstein, nephew to the original Atom Smasher. He inherited his uncle's powers. Ken's been out of action for a little while, but I can't do this without him. Takes magic to fight magic, and the man's got nearly god-level powers.
Okay. I'm going to pause for a second, wait for the audio to kick back up. Okay. The Henry Winkler cameo, was that not the weirdest thing in the movie?
It was weird.
Well, and yeah. I did search. I tried to find if somehow, maybe in the 60s or 70s, that there was some sort of DC movie that he was in, but no. It was just a cameo. That's all it was.
I really think it was almost like the Michael, is it Michael Douglas?
I don't know where you're trying to go.
Plays Hank Pym.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really think they just wanted another celebrity that people would recognize to be the original. And again, it's exactly like Ant-Man.
Yeah. No, yeah, you're right. I see what you're saying. Yeah. But at least Michael Douglas is in the movie doing things. You know, like Henry Winkler is just yelling on a cell phone.
He literally phoned it in.
Yeah.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe it was filmed on FaceTime.
Yeah, it's so weird. He just, listen to Carter. Don't mess up my suit. I just thought, why? Like, just so weird. It took me out of the movie. Anyway, here we go.
Carter. This is not a very good plan.
Yeah, it's not a very good plan. And I had intentioned of having the other clip of that right, just ready to go, but of course I got distracted by this.
Not a great plan.
So there you go. So, yeah. Let's see. So this is actually, I really enjoyed this bit of acting and writing.
Why do you want Ted Adam to surrender? He's the champion of Kondak. Who are you? The Justice Society? We have been living under military occupation for 27 years and never seen you before. You didn't come when Intergang invaded our country, when they stole our resources and killed my husband. But now we finally have our own hero and you decide to fly down here and save us. Thank you, but we're covered. Go and protect international stability someplace else.
I kind of like that. You know, basically like, hey, American, go away. It's kind of what it sounds yep. like.
And then he smacks her.
Yeah.
He left that part out.
Yeah. He's the hero. He doesn't do that.
He just likes rough stuff.
But Intergang is a terrible name for an organization, by the way. It's just a...
I was just getting ready to say the same thing.
Great from the comics, so you can blame some comic creator.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's like, oh, we have Interpol is the police organization, so we'll have the bad guy will be Intergang.
Yuck, yuck, yuck.
Yeah.
I just like that they had ridiculous hover bikes and stuff.
Those are bad design, by the way.
What's that? Bad CGI?
The hover bikes are bad design and CGI, but the design of the bikes themselves made no sense to me.
The CGI in this movie was still far better than Aquaman.
Too. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. There's no awful... Steve, have you seen Aquaman 2?
I have not.
Yeah, good for you.
I mean, go watch it if you're going to watch... If you're going to keep the metaphor of the trash washing up on the beach, you have to watch Aquaman 2.
when it shows up on Netflix, I might give it a shot. But I don't know. I was thinking about at least Aquaman 1 and like... at least examples of actors that, The Rock should have been, drawing from rather than whoever he drew from for this. And like, I loved, what's his name? The one who played the Ocean Master in Aquaman 1,
Patrick Wilson.
Yes. Yeah. He hammed it up so good. And like, he didn't have to go, The Rock didn't have to go that hammy for Black Adam, but like, just something, like give us something. Like there was I should have wrote it down. There was a scene where something happened. I think the boy got captured or taken away, and it's like cut to Rock and he's just standing there like not, he never gets angry, he never emotes, like just I don't know. I mean, at least he committed to being stoic, I guess, but for this movie it just didn't work. He had to give us a little more.
Agree.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I like your idea of the Terminator plus Drax. Batista. Like it's that's a good one, because Drax gets animated, like he gets up and down, like he's very animated. Right. Whereas
it's got range.
Yeah. Whereas you're right, Black Adam is like always at a three. Like he just
lives at a three. I feel like, and again, this is just speculation, The Rock somehow feels threatened by Batista. It's like, oh, they all like him and his performance. I'm going to show them that I can do just the same thing.
Yeah.
But it's not exactly the same thing.
Yeah. One other thing that I was wanted to bring up that I forgot looking back at my show notes is, so the intro, I played the clip where Kondak has been here for, years before... the pyramids, whatever. And it made me, I literally wrote down, how many ancient peoples are there on Earth before people in the DC universe? It seems like everyone is descended from ancient people. It's like you have the Amazonians who have been here for thousands of years, and you have these people who have been here for, 2600 BC, before they were the first organization of people. And you've got the Aqua people, the Atlanteans. They've been here for thousands of years. It's like,
and they never
all
ran into
just discovering
other.
Them now.
Yeah, well, like how did they never run into each
one
other?
One of the big problems with the DC universe, even the universe of comics, is that they've been buying and acquiring characters from other like failed comic book companies for 50, 60 years now. That's why you end up with a guy like Superman and Captain Marvel, Shazam, like in the same universe, they're the exact same guy, but like they refuse to like get rid of him or sell him to someone else. Uh-huh. And they've been around for so long, they can't ever seem to agree on like what continuity they're going to go with. So, you know, in one movie, these guys are going to be the oldest ones. No. But then we're on this movie, and so these guys are the oldest ones. And it just, and so then in like 2-5 years, they reboot everything anyway and start with new continuity. Then they do it again 10 years later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we do know that we're gonna...
Can we also mention how bad the DC universe is at hiding very dangerous artifacts? You know, not only are they bad at hiding them, we're all finding them in the last 10 years, basically. Mm-hmm. But like, you would think that the wizards would somehow destroy this crown, or the, you know, there's so many other, you know, send it off to the sun, you know, do something other than hiding it where it's floating in midair in some weird old temple. It's just a recipe for disaster.
Indeed.
Yeah, you're not wrong. There are a lot of powerful world-ending objects that are just kind of hanging out on Earth, and it's just
another thing. I guess I should have mentioned this when we were talking about everyone's favorite like skateboarding kid. Do you notice he's like the only kid in Kandar? Did they ever show any other kids ever?
That's actually a great question.
That is a good point. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that.
I don't think I do. I think you're right.
And then he has to rally all of the random like villagers at the end with the little the symbol, the Black Adam symbol that no one has ever done since the movie left the theaters.
So
like
dumb.
I'm doing it now. It's doing nothing for me.
If you're a Dragon Ball Z fan, that symbol has more reference than Black Adam.
Oh yeah, the Tribeam.
Yeah, Tribeam. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a fun nerd for. So I know I have more clips to play, but I did write down some more of my notes real quick. So he created the One Ring from vibranium. Check. Let's see. I did write, there's a lot of backstory. And then I wrote Black Adam was Shazam? ? Because I didn't know that. I knew. And so I've now read in two different movies trivia that this character, The Rock's Black Adam, was actually supposed to be introduced at the end of Shazam, and then he was going to be the villain in Shazam 2. And The Rock said
Rock didn't want to do it.
He didn't want to do that. He wanted his own movie first.
Yeah.
Now,
what a jerk.
Now maybe there would have been a planned Shazam 3 with him as the villain, them fighting it out. You know, a quippy Zachary Levi in a stoic Rock would have been, I guess, an interesting movie. But we obviously won't ever get that.
Forgotten about Aquaman 2 and done that instead.
Exactly. Yeah.
Shazam 2 was so bad, though. Did you guys see it?
We watched it last week.
Yeah.
Oh man, basically he was cucked in his own movie. He didn't do anything. Like, it was all the other kids, all the other Shazam people. Like, it was...
Well, he does...
And then, what's her name? Freaking great. Snow White. Like, she did everything at the end. Like, it's...
I mean, he does do the Iron Man take the nuke through the wormhole to save the day bit, and then...
Right, well, they had to get him to do something.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I mean, you know, we liked it better. We, as an Andrew and I, liked it better than Aquaman 2.
Man, I have to see this piece of trash.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Dude, it's pretty gross.
Yeah, it's really bad.
My seriously, whenever Nicole Kidman is on screen, you won't be able to take your eyes off of her bad CGI face. Like,
you remember
weird CGI mouth Superman at the beginning of...
Because of the mustache of Justice League.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That it's that, but her whole face. It's just weirdness happening. It's so strange.
It's like somebody took an image and stretched it a little too far in one direction.
They did the same thing to what's the Transformers girl?
Megan Fox.
Yes. Megan? She is in Expendables 4. And I guess they gave the makeup guy the day off, like on her opening scene. So yeah, they went in there and did a little bit of a CGI touch up, and it just looks bizarre.
Weird. Weird.
Now you want to see some trash. Expendables 4 is it.
I was going to say, I didn't even know there was a 4.
I knew they'd just come out with it.
It takes place on a boat.
Oh, the whole thing, like a cruise ship? Big,
yeah, well, just like a big tanker.
Okay. Isn't that a Steven Seagal movie?
No, it's a submarine. Sylvester Stallone, but he's barely.
No. But like, there was a movie in the 90s or even.
Under Siege. It's a submarine, yeah. With crazy Busey. Okay. Yeah. Back to clips. No, this is good. I do like it when clips can spark some fun conversation. And I still haven't gone through all my notes because I have more. Okay, real quick, then I'll play the clip. Back to the point where we have like all these earth-destroying things that are easy to find. My note was, that cave wasn't hard to find. It's hard to imagine that no one just stumbled in there.
Yeah. Kid isn't wearing a crown somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, where six
Especially
demons
after
are controlling
5,000 years.
Yeah. Yeah. It just, it wasn't hard to find. Even saying like, put it...
Yeah.
Oh, she has to read the thing and then translate it and then hit the right button and then it opens up. Give me some National Treasure shit. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, right.
Make it difficult to find. It's just go to the cave, turn left. There it is. I mean, the three of us could have found it by accident on a hike one day. Yeah. So, anyway,
they didn't have time for that. We had to see like the Rock melt a guy and then rip him in half. There was that. I had to make room for that.
See, I wanted to see more of that. I thought that was
I'm not complaining.
The slow-mo fight scene was pretty cool. Like when he's doing the thing that they did really well in X-Men with that Quicksilver,
yeah.
Where he
both
like
times really.
Yeah, the second one, especially when he's saving all the people from the exploding mansion. I really like that was a really well done. I wish Joss Whedon had seen that before he did his version of Quicksilver, who was kind of lame. But
oh yeah, super lame.
Anyway, I did enjoy like, oh, here's a rocket. I'm just gonna angle it a little bit so it blows up that thing, and I'm gonna, you know, I like all of that stuff. I thought that was pretty cool. Okay, sorry. Back to a clip.
Me and you, when we get back to the ship.
Yes, sir.
Me and you.
Yeah. See, that made me laugh because that's something that Aldous Hodge would say from his other show. Like, that reminded me of Leverage a lot. Now we have a few quips kind of here in the middle of the movie.
I suppose they didn't have doors in your day.
Well, of course we did. That's how we entered rooms.
What I did there is called sarcasm.
I love Pierce Brosnan so much. He's great. Old man Pierce Brosnan is one of my new favorite things.
Uh-huh. Agree.
You said you wouldn't hurt the prisoners.
That was sarcasm.
Well, technically, it was just a lie.
Technically, it's just a lie. That's a good one. Yeah. And then one more.
I hope you can be a team player.
I love teams.
That was sarcasm again, yes?
Very much so.
See, The Rock couldn't even give us like a sarcastic inflection. He just had to stoically say it.
Yeah. I love teams. Yeah. Though I did kind of find it annoying that Hawkman, who this whole time has this, you know, very slow, steady pace and very refined, and he says playa.
I hope you can be a team player.
Yeah. He didn't really strike me as a billionaire, but whatever.
Yeah. I mean, again, I like the actor.
Armor looked cool.
Yeah, I like the actor, but I do think it is an interesting choice that you're a billionaire, so the tech you make are just wings that flap.
Well, like, there's Hawkman has a bunch of different origins depending on which ones the writers want to go with. I think one of them is that he's supposed to be like an archaeologist or something who finds the Hawk world or Hawkman armor or something. And that's why he's a billionaire. But I'm not sure which one they went with this one. It was just like,
yeah, hey, it's hard to tell.
Here's Hawkman. You just have to accept it.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. Here he's clearly, you know, okay. And I had to actually check on IMDb. to make sure this was a Matthew Vaughn movie when the jet came out of the ground, like,
oh, like X-Men,
like in X-Men. Yeah. I was like, is this
straight out of X-Men?
That was so over the top and unnecessary and expensive, but I loved it.
Yeah, I mean, I did too, but it's just like, oh, we're doing this thing that Matthew Vaughn did from X-Men and The Kingsman. Like, can we? How many ships?
DuckTales.
And DuckTales, yeah. this DuckTales thing's cracking me up.
You're not wrong.
Oh, you're killing me with the DuckTales, but I love it. And this was my last clip, sorry.
You know what I have to do?
Beat his ass.
That made me laugh. Beat his ass.
It's a fun little moment.
Yeah. Okay, time for this.
You're an idiot!
All right, this is where we're going to play the game called Hey, Did You Notice? And Andrew has come up with some questions to see if we were noticing things in the background while The Rock was standing there being all stoic. And I don't know how we're going to break up to teams because it's been a minute since we've had a guest, but we can do Steve versus Sam and myself if we want. Or
Steve versus you.
Steve versus me. Okay, that's fine.
There you go.
All right.
I'll help both sides.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Well, Steve, you're going to go first.
Okay.
All right. As the van arrives at the checkpoint when they are trying to smuggle Adriana, in the background, a bakery is seen. What is the name of the bakery?
Jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, I have no idea.
Sorry, I didn't understand.
Oh, hey.
But I found something else.
Heck.
Ooh.
Burt's Baklava?
Sorry. For some reason, it was talking. no, it's not Burt's Bar.
Tet Adams Bakery.
And I'm sorry, Steve, I didn't hear your answer.
I have no idea.
Oh, okay. It was Raphael's Bakery.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Was
Sean,
it red?
This is your question.
Was it red with
remember the color.
Head size. And it's when you walk in there, you have to be angry at the world.
Oh, yeah. So Adriana's grandmother gave her the necklace. She inherited it from her. Her brother inherited what three items from his Baba, which I guess is a grandfather?
I know. Oh, is it Sean?
Oh, it's mine.
This is Sean, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know he inherited anything. He inherited the TV, the van, and the sunglasses. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Steve?
I know one of them is the bald spot.
right.
And I maybe the body hair and diabetes. There, that's my.
Well, I'm gonna give both of you a third of a point because Sean said van, and you said bald spot. The other was a sweater.
I don't remember that line at all.
Yeah, that's funny. Said. She said, "What do you mean you didn't inherit anything? You got the sweater of the van and the bald spot."
Oh, that's right. And that's when he's like, kind of goes back and checks it, you know, like he's ashamed of it. Own it. It's fine. I have one.
Own it. Yeah.
All right. Back to Steve. What channel is Kareem watching The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly on?
Oh, man. Is it
what's the name of the channel?
I was hoping you're going to ask what the name of the movie was.
Well, I thought that would be a little too spot on. It's not AMC. But that would be a good guess. Sean?
Oh, you're not asking for the number. You're asking for the name of the network?
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say Channel 3, but you're asking for the network.
I'm sorry, what network? Yeah.
Well, I guess it can't be like the WB or the CW because, again, that would be a little too on the nose for a Warner Brothers movie. I don't know. What else do they own any other channels? I don't know. It's not Turner. I don't know. I'll say TBS.
Turner Classic Movies.
Yeah.
So you're all kind of skirting around it. It is something Classic Movies, but I guess they can't use TMC or TCM, like Turner Classic Movies, but they use Kondok Classic Movies.
KCM.
ACM.
Nice.
All right. Yeah. That's fine.
All right. Who's is Sean now?
Yeah.
All right. What is the team code name of Ishmael and his team of villains? They say something team. Check in. You know, they're on.
Oh,
the
yeah, yeah. I don't know. Tron Legacy Team.
No.
Because it looks like Steve. They're riding the Tron bikes.
I don't know. Team bad guy. I don't know.
I'm going to go to Sam for this because if he doesn't get it, it's pretty sad.
Yeah. It's team team Tyrannosaurus.
I was saying, is it a Jurassic Park reference?
It is team Raptor.
Yeah. Raptor.
Raptor. That was close.
Raptor team. I knew it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Last question. This goes back to Steve. One popular fast food restaurant is shown in this movie.
Oh, man.
On the streets of Conduct. What is the fast food restaurant?
I do Pizza remember Hut? Seeing a Lay's potato chip bag.
It's not Pizza Hut, and Lay's is not a restaurant.
I know, but I wrote that down thinking that might come up.
Do I get another guess, or does it go to Sean?
I'll give you one more, sure, since you're the guest today.
Oh, well, thank you. KFC.
It is KFC.
Oh, ah, nice.
Yes.
Nice.
What I get for sort of paying attention. Yeah.
Nice. That's good. I wouldn't have gotten that. Yeah. I thought it was the Golden Arches, honestly.
Yeah, but do you know it's actually listed as Kandaki Fried Chicken?
Kandar Fried Chicken. Yeah.
Nice. That's funny.
All right. That's it. That's the game. I think you tied.
No, he won. He won.
Each. Oh, he won.
He won with one and a third.
0.3.
Yeah.
I'll take my check in the mail. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. It's on its way.
I did. I know I forgot to mention this in my initial talking of the movie, but there were two other references that this movie made me think of from the very beginning, the very first couple of scenes. Do you know what movies they made me think of?
So not Indiana Jones or DuckTales?
I mean,
it has to do with the kid on the skateboard.
I mean, obviously, there's a Back to the Future kind of vibe.
Back to the Future. Yeah. And I got Scooby-Doo vibes from the Mystery Machine that they were driving around.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Also, Thor vibes with the
Bad guy and the dirt and the digging and the stuff. And yeah.
Yeah.
It did kind of have a Thor 4 kind of a whatever. Anyway. Vibe. Cool. All right. Yeah. Well, that's it. Time for I play this now.
And now for some more bad news. Ready?
That was the audio I was supposed to play before, and now I play this.
Everyone!
For no reason other than to say that now we give this movie a score from 0 to 10. And we start, as always, with Andrew.
Well, IMDb has it parked at a 6.2 out of 10. And I kind of feel like that's fair. You know, I don't really want to go too much higher because this movie's not a really great movie, but it's not bad, and I did have fun with it. So I'm going to say a 6.3. I'll go, you know, a tenth higher there.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah. Steven?
I feel a solid 7 is...
oh, wow.
I don't know. Just because there's so many movies come out and they just annoy me and make me want to stop watching movies. And I didn't feel that with this. And like I said, it reached into the high action adventure sort of pulp feeling that I feel like hasn't really been around since the 90s. And yeah, so solid 7.
All right, cool. Sam.
I'm going to go towards IMDb here with a 6.18 out of 10.
Okay.
So again, it's middling. It's decent. It's good enough to watch on a Saturday afternoon when there's nothing else to watch and you want to see some violence.
Action.
I guess.
Yeah.
Some action.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is funny. We've
splitting action.
We've used
this. One would think, by the way, that if your bullets aren't doing a damn thing against an object like Black Adam, You wouldn't continue using that strategy over time, right?
Well, I
think so.
The people that shoot him later, they don't know about the people in the desert. So I would assume that, like, you know, they're trained to use the guns and, like, that's all they have. But But we also live in a world where there's like superpowered people. So you're not wrong. It does kind of feel like, oh, we need to have like really powerful guns just in case Superman shows up to decide to stop Intergang.
Yeah. Because they did have the unobtainium missile they shot at him.
Yeah.
Or whatever it was.
Which scratched him a little.
You mean from Avatar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're gonna this is how we do things. We're gonna cross I've already called it vibranium once, so
we cross pollinate in this
we
podcast.
We do that indeed. I'm gonna give it a 6.5. I had a good time with it. It's fine, it's fun. I like The Rock. I don't think he's great in this movie, but I like him in most of the things that he's done. Now that I think about it, most of the stuff that I like him from are his earlier things. Like, I like him when he's kind of funny. I love him in Jumanji.
For God's sake.
Yeah. No one ever talks about The Rundown anymore.
I love The Rundown. Yeah, The Rundown's great. And he's
a fun one.
I mean, he's
I'd watch The Rundown any day over this.
Oh,
yeah. See, that one's high action adventure, too.
Yeah, with a comedic thing and a beautiful woman and, you know, jungle stuff and treasures and...
Him trying to be serious and mysterious just doesn't work.
Yeah,
right.
And that movie also, in my mind, has another leverage connection, because have you seen the show Leverage, Steve?
I have not.
All right, anyway.
I don't think many people have.
You're not wrong.
It's worth a watch.
I love it obviously enough to watch it like every year for the last 7 or 8 years. But the main one of the characters on the team is a dude who's like former military, who he's the violent guy. He's the hitter of the group. But he hates guns and he likes to cook, which is The Rock's character in The Rundown. So I in my mind, they're the same character, you know, like
headcanon, buddy.
Yeah.
Some headcanon going on there.
Yeah. Not to mention the best Christopher Walken portrayal of Christopher Walken in any movie.
Christopher Walken is doing an impersonation.
Man, I forgot he was in there.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are drudging up past
good memories, right?
Here. Good, back when movies were movies.
Oh, my gosh. Like this, Jim.
I suppose now we have a conversation where you enlighten me.
Mr. Hatcher.
How many more of you are out there? Enlighten me. Where are the rest of your compadres? Enlighten me.
Mr. Hatcher.
What I don't get is why you people so hostile. I've been good to you. I built you a town. Why are we fighting?
Mr. Hatcher.
What?
I hear he's just as animated in Dune 2.
All right.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, but just that's
just the same character. It's just, you know.
He doesn't ask for spice. He just asks for more cowbell.
Oh, I just love that so much. I also really, I'm not going to play the whole thing, but I also love this.
Hey, I'd heard the sound of thy holy trumpet and take not warning.
All right. I love Declan's speech. It cracks me up.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. Okay. My score, or I gave it a score. Also, I haven't done this in a while because I just forget, but Aldous Hodge is our Star Trek connection for this movie. So there you go. I haven't done that in a while.
God, I just can't get away from Star Trek connections. We've got it on Obscurity now too. We've even got a whole like graphic and everything.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. I like that. Well, that's a good idea. Yeah. Graphic. I should make a Star Trek connection graphic for the stream.
You can borrow mine if you want.
Oh, sure. I love it. I'll do it. Because I know Sam won't make one. It'll be something like super inappropriate because he hates Star Trek.
I never make inappropriate graphics.
I will kick you out of the stream right now if that thing pops back up. Anyway, that's it. That's our show. That's everything. I have nothing more to say about this movie other than... Actually, I have one more thing to say, and then I'll do the outro stuff and let Steve talk about his projects. Sam, you have said this 100 times on this podcast. I think we all have. And when we say things like, if there's nothing else to watch on a Saturday afternoon, this is a good time. But that sentiment only works from the 90s when there was literally nothing else to watch on a Saturday afternoon in June. You know, but because of the age of streaming,
there's
always something else to watch. Like the backlog of things that I have to watch, you know, just to catch up on. So, I'm with you, Sam, on your the sentiment that you're because I'm with you. Like I feel the vibe, but I feel like there are people listening that don't understand what that means.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. Now I do know that a lot of our listening audience is our age and older, but I do feel like there's probably people listening like, he keeps saying that, but what does that mean? I don't understand what that means because my son does not know what that means. On a Saturday afternoon, the only thing I can watch is what the TV gives me, right? Yep. Like he will never know the joy of having a movie come on that he actually want to watch.
But I feel like it's still similar. Like we only get what the streaming services are throwing at us, unless you have like a big, you know, your own library or whatever saved up on your hard drive. And if you've already seen all that stuff, then you have to take a chance on something that you haven't seen. So, I mean, I took a chance on Black Adam and it turned out to be pretty okay. So, I mean, I get what you're saying, but similar. Maybe.
Yeah, I think the difference is that even Netflix, I mean, because like in my house, we have access to Netflix, Amazon Video, Max, and Disney Plus. So, you know, the days that Sam's talking about, you had, you know, TBS, TNT.
Sure, cable.
Whatever the cable thing of the day was, like the CBS movie of the afternoon. Like you had three options. So... And if one of those movies was something you didn't want to watch, then and it was raining outside,
you had to go outside and play.
Well, I mean, I'm saying, but if it's raining, you know, for those of us that lived really outside, stuck. Then like you're like, well, I guess I got to play a board game with mom and dad or something.
So. All right, charades.
Yeah,
man, you
go set something on fire.
Mm-hmm. You guys are old. Well, and again, as an only child, it's like, well, if there's not a movie on, then I would. I mean, I probably would put on a VHS of Star Trek or Star Wars or
you had a VCR. Wow,
dude, we had
to try to beat Mike Tyson's Punch Out. That's what you got to do.
I did have I had the original Punch Out. I didn't have Mike Tyson's Punch Out.
Or
I had the
original DuckTales.
Played that also. Anyway, Steven, thank you so much for coming back on the show and being a part of this this craziness that is Cheap Seat Reviews. Please tell our listening audience where they can find your stuff to help you out.
First off, thank you for having me back. It's been too long. But as you know, since you have kids, now that I have one, it's hard to schedule things.
Amen to that.
Speaking of kids, if you have kids like who like watching YouTube, I started up a channel for my kid. And it is called Blade Plays with an exclamation point. And we've got mystery unboxings. We just went to the Cabazon Dinosaurs, which is the place where Pee-wee Herman goes in Pee-wee's Big Adventure and watches the sunrise. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah, yeah. Wasn't that in the Nintendo movie?
The Nintendo movie? The Wizard?
The Wizard.
Oh yeah, I think that is in there too. Yeah, yeah, but I don't know. I care a little bit more about Pee-wee's Big Adventure than the Wizard. Then that video is doing pretty well. I'd say even if you don't have kids, that would be a fun one to watch. But more important than that is my independent comic book. If you like comic book movies, or if you hate them or you want to see new ones, you should check out my comic book, Escape to Earth. It is chock full of dinosaurs. It is about an intergalactic thief who crash lands on the prehistoric Earth, where he meets a woman who can control dinosaurs with her mind, and they basically have to team up to stop the security force from our hero's homeworld, and then it spirals out from there, and it ends in a massive battle between humans, aliens, and dinosaurs. It's going to be huge, huge.
Wow, isn't that the exact same plot from Legally Blonde?
I thought you were going to say 65, which is a movie no one remembers except for me, and I only remember it because I was like, holy crap, they ripped me off. But I watched it and it was a total bore fest.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's not really bad, but it's not good. But
it's boring.
Yes, it is boring.
And the dinosaurs look weird.
They do look weird. It's more of like that movie was more of a survival movie. Like, he shows up on the planet, he and the girl have to like basically survive the dinosaurs, and they leave. There's no massive battle at the end like in my comic, which is on Kickstarter right now until the middle of April. So if comic books are your thing, or you just want to try something different, please head over there and check it out. We've got a cinematic trailer and all the information is there. And of course, my podcast, Obscurity Now, continues to cover obscure movies, TV, and comic books. So if you like the sound of my voice, I'm over there every Sunday.
Cool. Yeah.
We do it very stoic like this.
Still still waiting on my invitation. Funny. I mean, go check them out.
Thanks.
Links will be on our in the show notes. Thanks. Thanks. That. Yeah, I was actually looking back, Steve. I did not realize that it has been almost 2 years since you've been on the show.
Wow. Wasn't my last episode the big anniversary one with all the trivia and stuff?
Oh, we did do that for episode 400. So that was less than 2 years ago. Like, that was June 15th. Because I was looking back through my script, my spreadsheet, the last time you were the guest, just you, was for Watership Down.
Yeah, that was a laugh riot. Yeah. I remember that well.
Yeah, right? Episode 393.
And then before that was another drama, the Big Black Bottom movie. And so now we're on Black Adam. How did we get here?
Was it that? I thought we did something silly in between. Yeah, we did Thunder Road.
Oh, yeah.
June of 21. Yeah, we did Thunder Road. And then we did, and then Ma Rainey's Black Bottom earlier that year. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's been a fun time. We've kind of gone all over the place. Was that your first movie? That can't be your first movie.
No, what was the first one?
I'm scrolling back, but I don't see your name before Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. Maybe I just forgot I wasn't putting people's name in the guest.
No, there was definitely one before that. I'll have to go see if I can find it.
That's fine. So anyway, again, wasn't Velocity? Was it Velocipastor?
I don't think that was the first one, but I remember we definitely did that one.
Yeah, Velocipastor.
Black Bottom. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. This is fun. This is fun for me. Anyway, I'm probably the one who cares. I know Andrew and Sam want to go to bed. Thank you all so much for listening. This was fun. And thank you so much, Steven, for joining us back, or Steve, for joining us again.
Thank you.
As always, go to our website, cheapseatreviews.libsyn.com. There you can find links to our social media. Hopefully my sound is better this week. I know it's been kind of weird the last few weeks, for the show. Hopefully this sounds better. I did some tweaking. So the last time I've seen you, Steve, I have moved houses, and I don't know, maybe when I moved I tweaked something and then didn't fix it. This is what happens when you don't listen to your own product.
Sean, I'm sorry, what are you saying? Something?
No.
I heard something about you twerking and I
yeah that's how I keep my girlish figure, by twerking. Go to our website, like I said, facebook.com/cheapseatreviews, and you can follow us on all the other social medias. And go to our YouTube page. Seriously, go to our YouTube page, hit like and subscribe. That'd be a super, super duper help. And leave us comments and talk to us, because we're bored.
Sean's lonely.
I am. But that's going to do it for us. So on behalf of Andrew, Sam, and Steve, this is Sean saying thank you all so much for listening, and we'll see you next week. Oh, I didn't tell you what we're doing next week. I forgot to tease next week. The last movie of our DC month is Blue Beetle. We're doing the Blue Beetle. So nice. We'll see if the numbers can, because, if you look at our scores, right, we went from a 3.08 to a 5.45, to 6.495. So we'll see if next week we keep going that way. I think Andrew thinks that it'll continue that way. We'll find out next week.
One can hope.
Next week, yeah, one can only hope. So next week we continue on with Blue Beetle, and I think I got a pretty fun idea for April, for a month of April. So stay tuned for that. That's going to do it. So on behalf of Sam, Steve, and Teth Andrew, this is Sean saying thank you all so much for listening to this adventurous episode of DuckTales.
Woo!
This is Cheap Seat Reviews.